All right, good evening, and welcome to Faith Bible Church again for another service. Looking forward to what God's going to do for us tonight as we are in step with Jesus. Let's go ahead and grab our hymnals, 411. 411 is the solid rock. 411, the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be back again this evening to hear from your word and be together in spirit and in truth. God, thank you for these good songs that we can sing. Lord, I thank you that that we are on ground that is solid and firm, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. God, thank you. Lord, help us to put our focus on you and Jesus and keep our eyes fixed upon him during these very trying times. God, thank you for what we're able to do this evening, and may the service be a blessing to all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I hope that you enjoy singing songs. I do, and as I mentioned in previous services, I miss singing with you all, but hopefully that will be soon to come. Let's go ahead and sing another song, A Child of the King. 450 is a song, A Child of the King. I'll probably make mistakes in a few of these coming songs, but you bear with me, and I trust that it is the truth of the words that is the important thing, so you bear with me if I mess up. But A Child of the King. My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is reigning forever on high. that we may be his when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Let's go to another song, 458. 458. And as we go to that song, let me just remind you to be praying for each other, that God would bless, and pray for those ones that are without job, and that God would bless them. I praise the Lord that God has been good to us as a church in the last few weeks. The offerings and the tithes have come in very well, and we're grateful for that. And so I trust that we can continue to do our best with that, but be praying for others that are struggling, that God would bless them also. So let's go ahead. Let's look at 458. Now I belong to Jesus. If you thought the last song was difficult for me, then this song may be even more, but I'll give it my best shot. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. All right. And then back to 350. 350. Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
All right. There's a tendency when you sing songs like these to continually go lower or continually go higher. And there's a good chance that I might have done that. So if you were at home with your little pitch pipe, Rick, I'm just kidding, just picking on Rick. He's probably there. He probably didn't need that to see that I was off. But for some of you who are out there that have perfect pitch or whatever, I apologize if I went up and down. But either way, I hope that the words and the music were a blessing to you. All right. Enough of that. Good songs, good words. But let's go ahead and get to In Step with Jesus. In Step with Jesus. We're here tonight looking at that. Turn to Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. As we look at the Synoptic Gospels, this is the only gospel that records this situation. And so we'll just look at Luke's account here in chapter 9. We're in step with Jesus. Tonight we're going to be looking at responses to opposition. Responses to opposition and very specifically, maybe religious opposition. Have you considered what would happen in the coming days if we are opposed in a religious way? May they want to shut down our freedoms of religion? And of course, many of you have wondered that, and we wonder what could happen, and they may well do that. How would we respond? Well, let me just tell you that tonight I'm not going to give a thorough synopsis of what we do if they try to make us do that. That is not the point. I just want to look at one passage in what Jesus says concerning a response that was recorded in Luke chapter 9. And I think that a spirit in which we need to have an attitude that would be important for us all to have, even in this day as we deal with people that are opposed to us. Likewise, we could ask the question of how we are going to respond to other people and other religions, maybe false religions that are out there that are trying to be critical of the way we do things. How do we handle those situations? And Luke addresses that in chapter 9 for us this evening. All right, where are we at? Jesus has been spending much of his time in Galilee, specifically in the area of Capernaum on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And we find Jesus leaving there after the Transfiguration. And he is going to make his way from Galilee down to Jerusalem as he goes to prepare for his death on the cross. Actually, this section marks a change as Jesus leaves Galilee. For the most part, he is going to come back to Galilee for a brief moments and as we continue on through the Gospels, but for the most part, he is going to leave Galilee and he's going to go to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, he will leave a few times to some remote places that are not that far away. He'll make his way up to Galilee for just a moment, but for the most part, he's going to leave and go to Jerusalem, of course, as he prepares for his triumphal entry and then that last week of his life before he gives himself for us on the cross. And so we look at these. He's about ready to enter his what we call the Perean ministry in these last 6 months of his life. Probably as we look in the month or the year of AD 28 probably here in October or November. And then, of course, we find him dying on the cross then in April of AD 29. So, again, about 6 months in which we're looking at right before his death, in which he goes to Jerusalem. All right, he's going to leave with his disciples, and he's going to make his way to a Samaritan city here in Luke chapter 9. And you'll notice as he approaches this city, as his disciples go before and prepare the way, this city is not interested in having Jesus, and they refuse them, and Jesus wants to go on his way. But the disciples respond in a unique way. Let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter 9, and let's find ourselves in verse 51. Let me go ahead and read verses 51 through 56, and then we will go ahead and look at a couple points yet this evening. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Father, would you help me as I deliver the truth to these people this evening? God, would your words be spoken and not mine? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so Jesus heads south. Now understand, we have Galilee, where Jesus has been spending most of his ministry. And then we have Judea down below, which Jerusalem is on the northern side of Judea. And then right in the middle of that, we have Samaria. And of course, we know that the Samaritans were people that were half-breeds. They were part Jewish, yet they had defected from the Jews and had married other people from other religions, and they had made their own religions and with different gods. And so they worshipped in another place and in another way, and certainly they were opposed to the worship of God, Jehovah. And so they were opposed to anybody that worshipped. And so it would make sense why these Samaritans rejected Jesus, as Jesus and his disciples were heading down. And I mentioned some of the ins and outs of Jerusalem over the next 6 months. There, Jesus primarily makes his way, hit and miss a few times, to go to the different feasts and to the different times of worship down in Jerusalem in the temple. And so, of course, these Samaritans were going to be opposed to that. They did not want that. They were opposed to this. And so, therefore, they did not accept Jesus for who he was and what he was doing. And so that's why the Samaritans are going to reject Jesus coming into their town. So they rejected Jesus, and his disciples sent them on their way. But you notice that James and John, they struggled with this. And of course, they wanted hellfire to come down on this and the city. Jesus had a different mind. So with that, let's look at a few points that I want us to see as we follow Jesus in his pathway. You know what, folks? As we follow Jesus, we won't mess up. We will do right. And if we're just left to ourselves, even when persecutions or struggles or trials religiously come, we're going to find ourselves doing the wrong thing. And so I think it'd be good for us to follow Jesus. And so let's follow Jesus where he went this evening. I want you to notice, first of all, opposition is sure to come. No matter where you're going to go, opposition is going to come. And God tells us that in the scriptures, even in the book of Matthew, that persecutions and trials are going to come. Notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, blessed are ye when you go through these times. Go through them in a godly, Jesus-like way. And that's why we're here tonight, to discover what was Jesus' way. Later in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Folks, as a Christian, we don't like this, but the fact is that opposition is sure to come. What about religious opposition? It is sure to come. And it's declared throughout all of the Bible. There's going to be times in the future when this is going to come and this is going to get difficult and they're going to restrict this. And what are we going to do? Can I stop and say this? We need to do what's right. We need to stick with what God says. We need to be careful not to just do our own thing. But as we have religious freedom, we need to just do what we believe is right according to what God says. That's why it's so safe to say, thus saith the Lord. And we believe in what the Word of God teaches, and so we're going to do what God says. How are we going to respond? Well, just understand that religious opposition is sure to come, but I want you to see a next point that I want to bring out. Okay, so there was some opposition. These people, they didn't like the way they worshiped. Don't, you know, why are you going down to Jerusalem? We reject you because of that. Well, I want you to look secondly of how not to respond. How are we not to respond? Here we have James and John, the sons of thunder, said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, and certainly they are living up to their name. They go into this Samaritan city. They hear the people reject him. And what's their response? No way, Jesus. I want you, like Elias, cast down something upon them. Fire from heaven upon these people and kill them all. Now, that was their response of dealing with this opposition. Consume them with fire. Destroy them. You know, isn't that a response so many times? Now let's stop. Remember, you know, this city was not right. They were in opposition to Jesus and his ministry. They were in opposition to God and his work. They were in opposition to what is right. And of course, we could say in opposition to God and his word. And Jesus here is not, he is not commending them for what they were doing. He was not going on their side in any way. But Jesus was training the 12. Jesus was training us in this, and this is what we need to learn. So understand, Jesus is not saying that this response of the Samaritans was okay, but we have something to learn. Our response so many times is kind of like James and John, in which you say, listen, the world is against us, and they're wrong, and we've got to stand up to this, and we won't let them take away our rights, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to fight, and God, would you send hellfire down on these people? And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that this is not right, and it's not godly, and it's not Jesus' way of doing things. It's not. And I know what I'm about, what I just said and what I'm about to say may be very unpopular with a number of pastors in our country, even this very day, with even what's going on in our communities, in our country, and even in our world, because there's a lot of pastors that say, no, we need to stand up for religious rights. And I'll stop and say this. I'm all for that. We need to defend our freedoms, which our forefathers gave us, and our rights that we have. But brothers and sisters, we need to be careful to do it in Jesus' way and in his manner. And so again, what I'm about to say is going to be very unpopular, but I stand firm on it because it's what Jesus stood firm on. Jesus was a man of truth, certainly, but he was also a man of compassion and love. And we need to follow Jesus in his steps. And so our response many times is, you know, especially to leadership that's not conservative like us, or they're not responding like we ought to, or what God would do. But are we responding like God would have us respond? And we wish them to be destroyed. You know, what if you heard today that something bad happened to a certain leadership that you don't agree with? Would your response be happy? Oh, now they got what's coming to them. I tell you what, that ought not be the case. That's certainly not what Jesus' response would be. Would your response be the same as James and John? God, would you do something to these people? They're doing us no good. They're against us. What was Jesus' response? Notice that these men were rebuked. Jesus rebuked them. Verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Yes, these Samaritans were wrong. However, the spirit and attitude of these disciples was altogether wrong as well. You know, someone else's wrong does not give us liberty to react in a wrongful manner. Someone once said, it's never right to do wrong in order for a chance to do right. If someone else's wrong doesn't give us liberty to go ahead and do wrong as well. Remember Philippians 1:27, our theme verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And in the end, for the faith of the gospel. And that's exactly what Jesus had in mind here. I want you to see thirdly how we ought to respond. Look at verse 56. Well, verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. What was Jesus' spirit? It was the spirit of a Savior. A Savior. That is what Jesus had on his mind. He wasn't looking at the opposition to go and crush them. Well, they're going to get what they deserve. They're opposed to me. They're opposed to my ministry. No, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he had on his mind. Jesus wasn't trying to figure out how to destroy them or get rid of them. He wasn't set to retaliate with force. He wasn't even set to speak back at them. He had a spirit of grace. And Jesus always had that spirit of grace. He cared about their poor situation and a much larger situation that lay ahead in 6 months. Salvation offered to all on the cross. How do we respond to opposition? Are we ready to let them have it or blast them away with our harsh words? Same is true concerning certain false teachers that come to our doorsteps. What is your spirit towards them? You know, we're not going to be a help to them if our spirit is one of opposition and get out of here and you're wrong. And I tell you what, that is not the way Jesus responded. What is your spirit towards them? Is it John's spirit? Or what is it Jesus' spirit? Jesus cared about souls. He didn't come to destroy. No, he came to save. And he cared about those people. He cared about those people that were against him. Remember the story of Zacchaeus. You know, many frowned upon Jesus' desire to be with this sinner. And yet Jesus had Zacchaeus' salvation on his heart and on his mind. And we read at the end of that situation in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Earlier in Luke chapter 5, verses 30, 31, and 32, you know, there was the scribes and the Pharisees that murmured against the disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And in verse 31 of Luke 5, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Folks, this is the spirit of Jesus. His spirit is one of salvation to all of mankind. You see, if we destroy them away, how can they be saved? Thinking very practically, you know, with those in leadership of that you have or us, and leaders that are anti-God and go against what we think. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, our attitude is not in opposition, but for them. We need to look with an attitude of care and concern. These people need the Lord. No, we need to have an attitude of praying for them, praying for our oppressors, praying to God for their salvation. God, would you save these people? God, help them to come to truth. Help them to see the light. No, not in opposition, but for them, for the sake of the gospel, for the faith of the gospel. We need to be praying for them. We need to be caring about them. We need to be kind to them. Now, we need to do what's right. We ought to please God rather than men. But I believe that we can do this in a godly way, the way that Jesus did. We need to stop seeing these people as opposition, but rather lost souls that need a Savior. And if we do, our response will be different. Our response will be different. What is your response to opposition? I trust that we can follow Jesus in his steps, and let's have a godly response, and let's care about the souls of people. Father, would you help us to have the right response to lost people? Lord, would you help us to have the right response to those that may be not in favor of what we're doing? But God, help us to have a spirit of love and kindness. And we don't need to retaliate. We don't need to fight. We don't need to. And I'm not saying, Lord, I didn't say tonight that we need to lay everything down and just, no, we need to stand up for what we believe and what is right. But God, would you help us? God, would you help us? Lord, I thank you for your good word today. And I thank you for what it's done for us and given to us. Lord, the message of the Savior, the song of the Savior this morning and tonight, the actions of the Savior this evening. Lord, help us to follow. Lord, I pray that you'd be with these people and everything they're going through, that to know that you're ready to help them, like we learned this morning. God, give us a wonderful week for your honor and for your glory. Would you protect us and keep us? Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, give us a good night tonight and a wonderful week, and may we be an encouragement and help to each other, brothers and sisters that are out there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I trust it's been a good day for you. It was for me, and looking forward to what God's going to do in the coming days. So remember to be praying for each other. Step out and be a help to one another. Let's abide by what God has given to us and rules. Don't be going against the authority. Let's comply with what we've learned in 1 Peter. God wants us to be a good testimony to a lost and dying world. And so I trust that you'll do that. And God bless you. And we're praying for you. If there's anything that you need, please call. Just because there's a lot going on doesn't mean that I'm certainly answering my phone call. And I've been getting more phone calls from some of you. But I'll try to answer it. If I don't answer, I'll try to get back to you and let us know how we can pray and be a blessing in any way. But with that, God bless. And we'll see you next time.